Roy Helu back out there for the Huskers. Cody Green in the shotgun on first and 10 for the Baylor 46. Play action fake. Back to throw is Cody. Sets, takes a shot downfield. Looking deep downfield. The pass is caught by Niles Paul. And he is out of bounds at the 1 yard line. What a terrific catch by Paul over the shoulder at the one.
Did some good things. He did a lot of things he needs to clean up.
Gets the snap. Looks, throws, pass is intercepted. Picked off, maybe 6 points for Baylor. 20, it's Odom, 10, 5, touchdown. It's a pick six for Baylor, and the Bears have scored 9 unanswered here in the third quarter.
You know, he competed, and that's what I was really pleased with, the fact that he competed. And, you know, he had some rough spots now. That's his first start. He did some things that freshmen sometimes do. You know, he's got a lot to get better at, but the thing, you can't, no doubt, he competed and got us, you know, gave us some nice runs. And, you know, did some good things. We didn't ask him to do much. We just asked him to kind of manage us. He had the one pick. We got to get that fixed. Just didn't see it for what it was, so clean up.
This is Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station. From 1620 The Zone, Omaha's ESPN Radio, and 1620thezone.com. This is a special Monday Night Football edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct with Kevin Kugler and Michael Sevier, live from the new DJ's Dugout Bellevue Kino, one block south of 23rd and Cornhusker in Bellevue.
Clean up.
And now, Unsportsmanlike Conduct with Kevin Kugler and Michael Sevier.
You may not have been able to hear it over the music during that open to the broadcast here in this third hour, live from the all-new DJ's Dugout Bellevue Kino, one block south of 23rd Street, Cornhusker Road. Come on out and join us here. Be here for Monday Night Football, Game 5 of the World Series, all that going on tonight. $3 Crown Royal drinks all day and all night. Buy one burger, get one free. It's Burger Mania Monday. These folks across from us look full and satisfied.
Yep.
They just gave me the okay sign. The burgers are edible. It's been proven. They're better than edible. That's both thumbs up over there. The burgers are great here at DJ's Dugout.
And, poopy. Of course,
well, no, it's not chicken poopy at all. It's very good. $2 Coors Light bottles and $16.20 mega buckets of Coors Light. Now, you may not have been able to hear it over the audio, so we have isolated it. Bo Pelini talking after the game with the media. And the way the Baylor setup is, apparently the entire Baylor setup is just bad. The broadcast booth, where you heard those cuts, broadcast courtesy of the Husker Sports Network, is apparently the size of a broom closet.
Okay.
You got Adrian and Matt sitting on each other's shoulders and Greg dangling in a fishnet out of the booth. It's a bad situation.
Sure.
So you've got the facilities. And meanwhile, Bo is doing his post-game press conference essentially in the corner where people are all around milling about, and Bo's doing his press conference outside in like next to a latrine or something.
That's how it was in Texas a couple years
ago.
Right.
So you're just kind of like shoved in the corner, here, finish this up and go.
Yep.
Well, Bo's talking. Some guy behind him jumps in with this.
Clean up.
That would be a
Lyra Watson?
No, that would be a guy screaming, "You suck, Watson."
Watson, okay.
Right behind Bo Pelini. Now, Sean Watson is nowhere near anything at this point. Right. I mean, Sean Watson may be on the bus. He may be, I don't know where he is. Maybe he's down the road at the Chick-fil-A. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Again, people, Mutual of Omaha, step it up.
Sean Watson does look a lot like a lot of the white people. He could have been anybody.
Maybe, I mean, it could have been.
He looks like him.
Could have been. And then you have this guy yelling off mic behind Bo.
Clean up.
And you hear Bo at the end going, Watson. He goes, "Oh, things we got to clean up." Some guy going, you suck Watson, right behind. I mean, that's where we are today.
Right.
That's where Nebraska is. Circa 2009. Can you imagine? And maybe they would have done it with Tom Osborne, too. I don't know. I'm sure somebody yelled something at Tom Osborne over the course of 1973 to 1997. Probably not much in the last 5 years of that.
They always tell you if you went in for a number of years, if you went into the little coffee shops in small towns across Nebraska, there was a conversation going on, "We need to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Can't win bowl games, can't do this, can't do that." The conversation was going on.
Right.
People don't know what they have.
No, never do.
Now they know what they have now, though.
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, I don't want to compare Sean Watson to Tom Osborne because that'd be like comparing, I don't know, a hat to a king's crown. I mean, you're talking about two very different things here. Maybe like an old dirty seed corn hat and the crown.
Filet mignon.
Yeah.
Lennon broil.
Chicken poopy.
Chicken poopy.
Yeah, I mean, a little filet mignon, a little chicken poopy.
It's chicken poopy.
Exactly. That's what you're comparing it to.
Right.
But you got that guy in the background, and Bo's talking, and he runs up and just says, "Here's what I'm going to yell.
Clean up."
And again, Watson not there.
I think there's a lot of people in Nebraska Nation
angry.
Say the same thing.
Angry.
They'll probably say the same thing. They just don't like him. They don't like what he's. They don't like the decision. Look, we talked about the first time Cody Green came in the game.
Yeah.
And they brought him in.
Right.
We thought at Texas Tech, how come he's not running any zone read?
Right.
It seems to be designed for zone
read.
And then he turns around and gets a start, and Not a lot of zone reads.
And not a lot of zone reads. Steve Sipple joining us from the Lincoln Journal-Star. You were there, were you not, Sip, as the yelling commenced, as this dude was behind Bo screaming this stuff?
Yeah, I was there. It was kind of funny because Watson wasn't even anywhere near.
Our man John Tallman, who I know you saw down there, our good friend John Tallman, was doing some stuff for us down in Waco, and he said Sean wasn't even doing interviews on that side of the stadium.
Maybe they thought Tallman was Watson. I don't know. I mean,
possibly. Maybe. And you know what? It is a little difficult to hear. Play that again, Lacey. Let me listen to this one more time.
Clean up.
You know what? It says you suck Tallman. That's what it is. It's all John Tallman.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense because nobody would yell that. There is certainly, Sip, a little bit of anger and animosity towards Sean Watson and the offense from a certain faction of Nebraska fan base, like a good chunk of it. What did you see this weekend, and is there any reason at all for optimism?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can always find reasons for optimism. Well, I think the biggest reason is Cody Green. I didn't have a big problem with the play calling. I think they tried to run the zone read, and Baylor did a good job of, you know, taking away Green in that. But yeah, I guess in a nitpicking sense, I would try to find ways, you know, I always hesitate to do this because I'm not an offensive coordinator. I have no idea. I have no idea how to be one, but I, you know, maybe find a few more ways for him to run the ball. But I think he gives you hope. That's why I was kind of surprised after the game that they didn't commit to him. I hope that they do that early this week. I think you need to commit to Cody Green at this point, because I do think, you know, if you step back and look at it, I think your best players on offense are Niles Paul and Cody Green. So I wouldn't take one of those guys out of there.
What do you think overall about some of the stuff that the defense did? They did give up some drives where Baylor got into the red zone. They didn't score on those drives, but they did give up a little bit more than they've given up. You think it was a matter of just being tired, or why do you think that Baylor could move the ball late in the game?
Well, I give Baylor credit, Michael. I think Kendall Wright's a good player. I mean, I think Nebraska at this point would love to have Kendall Wright. Sure. Carl Geddes and Ernest Smith are good players. I think those guys, you know, they hurt a lot of people. They don't, you know, Baylor isn't particularly strong up front. That, you know, they can't, they're not real strong at quarterback, and Finley's been hurt. So I think they kind of have to rely on those guys a lot, but on the receivers a lot. But I thought, generally speaking, Nebraska's defense was very good. Obviously, number 94 played fairly well.
Yeah, he did.
He reminded me, Sip, and I know you didn't waste your childhood playing video games, but I did. He reminded me of when you would play the old Tecmo Bowl, and if you wanted to play the defensive tackle, what you'd do is you would just play him, and you'd move one down and dive, and you'd rack up like 27 sacks in a game. That was him. He was playing like a video game with the ease that he seemed to be able to get into the backfield.
Well, those two guys give you a chance against about anybody. Now, there's a big problem offenses have. Now, we've known that for the last few weeks. But I think it's starting to dawn on the rest of the country that what do you do against Nebraska inside? I mean, you almost have to double Sue. I don't think you can double both. And, you know, they're good on the outside. You know, the ends are good players. So I shouldn't go on the radio and say such things. I don't know that I'll see two down linemen in my lifetime as good as those two, you know, playing side by side. Steinkuhler was a good player last year, but he's not like Crick. Crick, I can tell you, I know this, NFL guys are drooling over Crick. I mean, obviously, Sue is Sue, but Crick is 6'6", 285, and we all see the way he moves. He's only going to get better.
Hey, Sip, when you look overall at the way the atmosphere around the team is, I know you guys have your blog on LincolnJournalStar.com, and you have all of that stuff there. What do you think the overall reaction was to this game? Was it more like it was a loss for you guys, or did the fans seem like it was a win?
Oh, Michael, that's a great question. I mean, we were talking on the way home. it's a strange covering this team because of the dichotomy between a, I don't know, is that the right word? A struggling offense and a exceptional defense. It's strange. You feel like it's confusing to me. I can hardly get my brain around it. Sometimes you don't, you know, you're talking to one guy who's very upbeat, then you switch to another guy on offense, and it feels like they lost the game, and you got to kind of remind yourself, hey, they just won, you know? So I think it's odd, and I don't know. I'll tell you what, the face of the program from a player standpoint has been, he was really, something was, you know, Sue was not happy. He brushed past reporters and, right, and said, you know, I'm not talking to the media. You know, it felt, you know, his mood was like they lost. So, you know, it gets a little strange.
Probably was mad because Crick passed him in all those stats.
Yeah,
lead the team now in sacks, tie over tackles. I mean, he's tackles for loss. He's mad because he's going to lose a bet.
Right. Well, and I just imagine he wasn't happy about the personal foul. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
All right, we're going to get into this in a little bit. Did you like the call? Did you think it was a personal foul call when he had the rough tackle?
I wrote today that I thought it was a foul, and I'm getting killed for it. But whatever. I didn't think it looked right. You know, and that's a poor explanation, but that's about as good as I can do. It just didn't look right. I mean, I'm all for hard tackle. I think that wouldn't be something beyond that, though, and I don't want to go much further, but I think he's got to be careful. That's my opinion.
Well, he clubbed him upside the head and the neck. I mean, it's against the rules. You can't hit a quarterback in the head, and he clubbed him. You watch the replay. He clubbed him.
But they didn't call a blow to the head.
Well,
they called slamming the quarterback to the turf.
That was the part of the slam. When he hit him in the neck, he slammed him to the turf by hitting him across
that's
the neck
true.
And the head. I mean, that's what he did. He slammed him to the turf.
Kevin's got a good point. That isn't what they called. But, Kevin, what I'm saying is I'm just glad they called something because it didn't look right. Any 15-yard penalty for me would do on that point. I don't know how you want to break it down, but I thought they some sort of personal foul was in order. Maybe they didn't get the exact call right, but I think they need to call something, if you know what I mean.
My issue with it is not necessarily even with that play, and Michael knows this. My issue is the fact that no one knows what's a penalty anymore. And you've got some officials calling one thing a penalty, other officials calling something else a penalty. A third group doesn't call the penalty. You've got no uniformity when there's so much gray area on this stuff. They've taken trying to take the physical play out of defense, and it makes no sense. You can't do that in a physical game.
Oh, I think to a degree you can. I know what you're saying, but I think you got to be careful. I wouldn't want that stuff allowed. I mean, if that was my son, the quarterback, I don't think that's sportsmanship. I don't think it's part of the game to fling a guy to the ground and club him on the neck and the chest. Oh yeah, I mean it's a bloodlust thing. It looks great if you happen to be a Nebraska fan. But it didn't look right. You know,
I think the issue is it
was offensive to the senses, I thought.
I think the issue is the Gomes hit. I mean, that's one where it's a half a second after the ball's gone.
Ridiculous.
Doesn't drop his head, doesn't spear, doesn't lead with his face, doesn't do any of that stuff, and they call that. I think that's what frustrates fans more than anything.
Right. The Gomes call, I will say, Kevin and Michael, that was ridiculous.
Garbage.
And that's, you're right. I mean, there isn't much uniformity, but you asked me about one call.
Right.
I'm not painting anything with a broad brush here, Kevin. I'm just saying that one call I disagreed with.
All right, well, while we're sparring on the radio, Sip, let's go all the way. Let's take the gloves off here. Why is the injury excuse a valid excuse for Nebraska's ineptness on offense when it's not an excuse for schools like Iowa who have been hit almost as hard?
Well, now, hold on. I never said it was a good excuse.
No, I know.
I'm just talking about overall people
are looking for reasons as to why this offense isn't working, and a good portion of them obviously are shouting things at Sean Watson or nor white people that they think are Sean Watson. And so then you've got the other side, though, that's starting to point at, well, look at all the injuries, the Helu injury, and I've heard people use Witten Spano as reasons why Nebraska's struggling this year, and Castile being gone as a big hit that Nebraska took. And while I don't disagree with those are hits, other teams have injuries and are overcoming them and becoming effective on offense. Why can't Nebraska?
Well, they don't. They're not as deep as those other teams. I mean, I think it's I just look at the running back situation. I don't think that they're down to their fourth and fifth guy, and they play like fourth and fifth guys. I mean, that's what they are. They are what they are. So I mean, Kevin, I see what you're saying, but I do think injuries are a factor. The great teams, though, the very great teams, do overcome them. Nebraska's not a great team. I mean, they needed. I think we all would agree, Kevin, that in August and then early September after Burkhead's injury, we would agree that they couldn't afford anything more. So when Helu, the shoulder injury cropped up, at that point I thought, okay, this is going to be a big problem. Actually, if you recall, I did think when Castile got kicked off the team, I thought that was gigantic. I was surprised by people who didn't think that would cause lasting problems. And then when Burkhead went down, I think those are huge injuries. And I don't know. I wouldn't back off that. But other than that, Kevin, I don't see any injuries that I would say, okay, this is why they're struggling. I just look at that one position.
I think the problem that fans may have with it, Sip, is they look and they say, well, why don't we have the depth that Iowa has?
K-State.
You know, K-State. I mean, you got teams like Kansas State that are going 3-4 in their depth chart at running back, and they're succeeding. We saw Virginia Tech earlier in the season, and now Iowa's down to their fifth guy who's a true freshman. And they think, well, why doesn't Nebraska have a guy that they recruited, a Lester Ward or somebody that can stick in there and succeed?
Well, I think I look at a bigger picture issue, and I mean, maybe those running backs are a little bit better than they are, and they're not getting much up front, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I thought they would be much better up front. They're not. I mean, they're not playing well there. There's not much happening there. They play well in spurts, you know.
Right.
They're inconsistent, and any of them would tell you that. Barney Cotton would tell you that they've. They've done okay in some cases, but they're inconsistent. That affects the running game. Hey, let's face it, guys. I mean, you could do a whole show on the problems they have on offense. It goes beyond injuries. I mean, there's play calling issues. I think there is an issue with the style of offense. Maybe. I look mostly though at this, and I know people hate this discussion because you can't prove it, but I'll tell you one thing right now. The thing I walked out of Waco, the thing that makes the biggest impression on me from this weekend is that Baylor had better players on offense. And that's without Robert Griffin. And that's an issue because they're 0-4 in the league. And they're going to finish last in the South, and they're not going to win many games. Well, I thought they were better talent-wise on offense than Nebraska, which to me says it all.
But they are at wide receiver. Oh, I mean, because at wide receiver, they've got track guys.
Yeah.
And those track guys are going to actually play football.
Finley right now at Nebraska, you'd feel pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Jake Finley. He's a decent little running back.
Yeah, if he's healthy, if he gets healthy, I think he'd be pretty darn good again.
Right. And their quarterback does some things. I mean, I let's put it this way. And this is no knock on Zach Lee, but I would take that kid over Zach Lee. So, I don't know. I guarantee you this, Nebraska's in the bottom third talent-wise on offense. Yeah, third in the league.
Sip, before we go, give us your revised record prediction if there is a revision. What do you think ends up in November?
For Nebraska?
Yes.
No, Sip, for Tulsa. Yes, for Nebraska.
He's been like that all day, Sip. He's on edge.
I just did that to stall for time.
That's nice. All right. I appreciate that. You can just stall. I mean, if you want. How about the World Series game 5 tonight? I'm pretty excited. All right. Now, what about your record?
5-3 right now. I'd say, I mean, the reoccurring thing in my brain is they'll do well to get to 7-5, I think. That would be good. I think that's what it looks like to me right now.
I'm afraid I agree with you. Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Sip, we'll see you tomorrow at the press conference. Thank you.
All right, take care, guys.
See you, Sip.
Thanks, Sip. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Before we go to break and get back to your phone calls at 951-1620 or toll-free 877-951-1620, Bo Pelini was asked today at the teleconference, and it was maybe the most mind-numbingly bad teleconference in the history of teleconferences.
Surprising.
It was a waste of the actual phone lines they used to transmit it because nobody asked questions. The answers were blah. But here's Bo talking about the injury situation, and specifically, is Dontrevious Robinson practicing this week?
Yes.
There you go.
It's a solid answer.
Yeah.
You know, it answers all the questions I had about
that's
it.
That's all. That's all you needed to know.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Dontrevious Robinson
is practicing. No limits, coach? No limits at all?
Yes.
No.
Do you like the fact that he's going to practice this week?
Yes. Yeah. Green jersey?
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes.
That's what you've got. Yes. Thank you, Bo. Yes. Thank you.
Spurgeon, he's a little tight.
Are you excited about the guy yelling about Watson behind you, coach? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, damn it. Yes.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Yes.
Fine. Fine, coach. Fine.
Yes.
We'll take a short break. We'll take a break. Your phone call's next. Brian, Vince, Joe, so many others. Stay right there. The problems with this offense are legendary, but is Cody Green the answer, or is there no answer at this point?
Thanks, Coach.
We'll get your thoughts and coach's thoughts next. It's on Sportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone.